Good evening, everyone. My name is Julian Garner. I'm the Chief Executive of Tabip, and I'm very pleased to welcome you to this evening's masterclass looking at all things Kindle. I'm really pleased to be joined by Gemma Brown, who's a new member to Tabip, but very active within the sector. She's part of the Visionary Tech Forum and works for a local sight loss charity, which she'll go into more details about shortly. And also joined by Paul Porter, who's one of our trustees at Tabip. He's got a lifetime's experience of working in the sector, and will help to provide any supporting information or answer any questions that Gemma won't be covering. So, without further ado, I'd like to hand over to Gemma. Gemma, just sort of to be nice to introduce yourself to the group, explain a bit of your background, what you do at the moment, before getting into all things Kindle. So, over to you, Gemma.
Hi, thanks, Julian. Hi, everyone. I am Gemma Brown. I am an independent living advisor at OpenSight Hampshire. So we cover all of Hampshire, basically. Then it does what it says in the tin. And my specialism is in technology. So I work part-time for OpenSight, and I do everything smart tech. So mostly a lot of my job is helping people with acquired vision loss with their phones, but I also cover anything from air fryers to things like smart TVs and Alexa devices. I had to quickly run and put mine on mute before this meeting, otherwise it was going to be going off the entire time. And I guess my background, as it were, I grew up with my visual impairment, and I was partially sighted until 2014, and that is when I kind of, in that time, that's when I really got into ebooks because, and we're talking before the days of Kindle, because, growing up at school, there were maybe one or two books I could read in the library at school, and I just had to keep reading them over and over again, and I got bored to death of them. And so, actually, getting access to large print books that were large enough for me as a teenager was really difficult. And I just thought I was going to be someone for reading was not their thing. And both my parents are avid readers, and my mum is totally blind and reads Braille. And I just kind of thought I wasn't going to be someone who read much. Oh, how the tables have turned. So I got my first e-reader back in the day when I was a student, and suddenly I could read whatever book I wanted. And as formats have evolved, that gives me endless choice. And kind of one of the first things I want to address right now is why Kindle? And I'm going to answer it by saying, that really niche book that you really want to read but isn't available in whatever format you use, so Braille, audio, particularly if it's a niche subject for education purposes or just for your own personal development or something like that, it can be really hard to find what you're looking for in a format you can access. And I can remember at uni a lot, there was lots of sending emails to publishers and asking for PDF copies of textbooks and things like that, and it was a bit of a nightmare. But Kindle gives you choice, and it gives you availability, and there is nothing more infuriating, I kind of feel, like being like partway through an audiobook series and suddenly book 7 of 10 isn't available in audio, and then you're stuck, you just can't read it. So Kindle gives another option. Now, the way that tonight is going to work is this. I know almost nothing about Jaws. That's a gap in my knowledge. And so when people have questions and want to know specific Jaws commands, Paul is your man. So I will bring him in for that sort of thing at the Q&A. It's purely I use a Mac. So even when I use a screen reader, it's VoiceOver, not Jaws. So that is the reason for that. I'm kind of going to jump straight in. Julian, I think I might need you to make me a co-host for screen sharing purposes. Ah, oh, there we go. It's worked. I will quickly make this full screen for those of you that have some remaining vision. So the first thing I wanted to touch on is Kindle Assistive Reader for Alexa. And as I said, I turned mine off so it wouldn't go off constantly during tonight's meeting. So Kindle Assistive Reader on Alexa devices is fantastic. Basically, it allows you to read the vast majority of Kindle devices on, for example, an Echo Dot. It doesn't need to have a screen. And the way it does that is it turns the text from the Kindle device into synthesized speech. So it works in a very similar way to other screen readings and other ways that you might turn text into audio. This setting is hidden really deep inside the settings of the Alexa app. So what I have on the screen right now is a screenshot of the Alexa app on my phone. And basically, to get to this menu, I have gone on my phone and I have gone onto the Alexa app, then gone into settings. And then within settings, there is an accessibility menu. And a lot of people don't know that the first item in the vision category is Kindle Assistive Reader. And if you turn that on, you can literally, if you've, purchased, or maybe you've got even a free book from the Kindle library, you can literally just say to your Alexa device, read my Kindle book, and it will read it. I, as I said earlier, my mum is an avid reader, and she is totally blind and will admit to being a little bit of a technophobe. So, the way my parents work it at home, my dad goes on his iPad. He finds the book that she wants, he adds it to his Kindle library, and then my mum can play it anywhere she likes on any of her plethora of Alexa devices. And this works great. I've used this a lot. It's really handy. I like many people, I've probably got an Alexa device in every room. I've now stopped sharing my screen. I love this feature. I will warn, and it's something that will come up again later in the session. But when you're on the Kindle website, which is part of the Amazon website, on each book's page, it will say whether it works with Assisted Reader. Generally speaking, any newsstand items, so newspapers and magazines, they will not work. Same with graphic novels, for fairly obvious reasons, will not work. But most other things will. So that is the first thing we're going to cover. So next up, I'm kind of doing these in order of kind of most used to least used. So if everything goes really well, right at the end, we're going to look at an actual Kindle device, and I'm going to do some really clever things with the tech to try and make that happen if it works. So moving on, iOS. So iOS again, it supports VoiceOver. It supports TalkBack on Android as well. The only thing with if you're using an Android device, some of the buttons on the Kindle app may well be in different places. And to kind of get us started, I'm going to. Oh, sorry, I just. To get us started, I am about to play us a video. So I'm just going to get it sorted out. I have voiceovered the video, so it is very descriptive. But I did not use voiceover on my phone to record this video. You'll get why. So this was actually recorded on an iPad. Okay, so this is a quick look at the Kindle app for non-voiceover users. So those are people without a screen reader. I just downloaded a load of random samples or free books to demonstrate this feature. So what I'm going to do
is I'm going to tap on one of these book covers and it will open the book. It brings up a page with like ratings and do you want to add it to your Goodreads library and everything. I'm just going to get rid of that. Next, I tap and the kind of page zooms out, and then there's a letter A in the top right hand corner. I tap that, and this is what allows me to change all the settings and the fonts. And what I would advise is if I'm going to use the assistive reader, I'm going to set the font size pretty small. I'm going to not do that for now so that I can show you the largest font size and why, if you're going to use the assistive reader, you probably want to turn it down. So right now I'm going to turn up the font size to maximum. I've got it at about probably 70% right now, I don't know. So I'm going to put it up at the maximum and then turn the page, because that was a title page. So it's on the maximum. Now, if I click the more button and I turn on the assistive reader. Oh, it's taken a minute, but it's now gone to the largest text size. And my iPad's quite old, I do apologise. Now, if I get rid of this menu, now if I select a word, a little play button comes up, and also a little message that I can pin an action. And things like that. So I'm going to ignore that for right now because I just want the assistive reader. And then I hit the play button and it will start reading.
Interstellar space, en route to Sagittarius A, Daedalus and I had been accelerating. For 52 years now, Earth time, the universe, if you looked at it without any visual compensation, was unrecognizable.
And I just tapped to stop. Now you would have noticed there that there were some pauses where it wasn't the end of the sentence. Those pauses are happening because I have it set to the largest font setting and we're only getting maybe half a sentence on the iPad screen at once. So what I'm going to do now is put this font pretty small, much smaller than I can read. In fact, I've set it to the smallest size. Now, if I select a word and click play.
Space, en route to Sagittarius A, Daedalus and I had been accelerating for 52 years now, Earth time, the universe, if you looked at it without any visual compensation, was unrecognizable, nothing more than a bright smear in front of us. Also Doppler shifted to lethal levels, but who's counting? Fortunately, the surge drive field protected our ships from the onslaught of radiation and oncoming dust by warping it around us, and computer simulations allowed us to produce an image of the universe. Our news is getting...
It comes up much more naturally. That was Not Till We Are Lost by Dennis E. Taylor, for copyright reasons.
So, yeah, as I said there, I had to say the name of the book and what it was, just so that we didn't get hit by copyright. But that is how assistive reader works if you are someone that maybe reads visually, but sometimes you get a bit tired, or sometimes, you know, large print isn't large enough or whatever. That's a really good option for non-screen reader users. And I, on iOS and Android, and I kind of skipped over VoiceOver earlier, but just to say, the reason I didn't do that demonstration with VoiceOver on is because the way that VoiceOver reads a Kindle book on an iOS device, there is absolutely no need to use the assistive reader. In fact, I'm pretty sure your phone would just have a bit of a glitch out about it and not really work, because then you'd be generating two lots of speech at the same time. So that is why that screen recording was done with no screen reader on it. But you can do all of the functions that a sighted person can do on the app for iOS, whether that be on an iPad or an iPhone. You can add bookmarks and write notes. You can even dictate your notes in the same way that you would if you were dictating a text message, for example. And one thing that I want to touch on really quickly is that the Kindle app for iOS and for iPadOS works really well with a Braille display. And I am very much a novice when it comes to Braille. I learned how to read grade one during the pandemic with the Braillist Foundation Zoom. Shout out to them. And so my Braille display is set to grade one, but I can happily turn off the speech on VoiceOver and be reading a book in grade one on my Kindle and just panning in the same way I would any other text on my Braille display connected to my phone. So that's really cool. There are so many options for visual accessibility on the Kindle app for iPhone and Android and tablets that I was going to take screenshots of all of them and kind of show off all of the visual accessibility stuff. But I decided that would be really boring, so I didn't. So the options in terms of contrast are a sort of black with almost white, slightly off-white texts. Then there is a white with black text. There's a sepia, which is kind of like a tan color with darker tan text. And then there is a pale green with, I think, dark green text. It might be black. I'm not sure. My perception of color isn't always great. You can also change the font, the line spacing. You can choose how wide a line is. If you're reading on something like an iPad, you can choose to read in columns if, for example, you want to read landscape mode. And there are loads of other options as well. So, in that demonstration, I was using page turn animations because you must have page turning on, I believe, for the assistive reader to work. But if I didn't want to use assistive reader and I changed was reading, for example, on my phone and I changed it to continuous scrolling, you can actually bring up a reading ruler so that you kind of are moving the text over the reading ruler to help with eye tracking. I have nystagmus. I find that really useful. And you can choose your fonts, you can choose your font size, and there's lots and lots of customization options there. One thing that I will point out is that the font sizes on Kindle are scalable. So, for example, the fonts are going to go larger on an iPhone 17 Pro Max than they are going to go lar than they will be on an iPhone 17. Similarly, they're going to go larger on an iPad compared to an iPhone. And so yeah, it's really cool to have access to all of this stuff. One thing with accessing Kindle on iOS, and that is when you find a book that you want, for example, in the Amazon app, for example, sometimes, well, often, it won't actually let you purchase the Kindle version in app or even in the Kindle app for iPhone. What you'll need to do is go to the basically go to the page for the Kindle book in your browser, and then you can purchase a book. It's all to do with Apple's regulation of the App Store and not allowing basically purchases through from other people. So that can be a bit of a pain, but similarly, you know, if I want a book and I might just get my laptop out, find it on the Kindle page and purchase it that way. You can automatically choose when you purchase a Kindle book where you're sending that book to. So that's relevant because I have a Kindle, I have it on my phone and my iPad and on my Mac. So I can choose, I want to send this particular book to my iPhone, or I want to send this particular book to my iPad. And it's just because it automatically gets sent to the destination you choose, but you can access it on any of your devices. There is a limit on the amount of devices you can have registered and how many copies. I did hit that limit because I had loads of my previous Kindles on were still registered. So I just say, if you get a new phone or something like that, make sure that you deregister it on the Amazon website from the Kindle app so that you don't get locked out like I did. So yeah, I'm aware that was a whistle stop tour, because there is more. I mentioned earlier that I use the Kindle app for Mac too. So I am going to share my screen again. So this is the Kindle app for Mac. I have downloaded a load of random samples and books so that you didn't have to see my nerdy interest in theology. Right now we are looking at a page which has the covers of it on it of all the books I've downloaded. And I mentioned earlier that, oh, one second. I think I need to quickly change a setting. I'm not sure I am actually sharing computer audio. Oh, no, I think I am. Okay. We're looking at a load of titles, and I am going to click on, and this is my library, and there's a filter button in the top, and that will allow me to filter out, for example, audio books. You can play your Audible books often in the Kindle app, and that sort of thing. So I've got it filtered right now to just show you books, and it's books that I have downloaded. If I then open a book, I'm going to open the QI book of Animal Ignorance, and it is opened, and like I said earlier, I have set my font size as small as it will possibly go. I'm just going to move things around a little bit because the zoom bar is covering the button I need. There we go. Again, it's a very similar design language to the app. There is a button in the top right-hand corner. I believe it is the same for Windows. One of my colleagues looked and told me all of the buttons were there, but didn't share exactly where they were. There's a picture of an A. If I click on that, sorry, I get options again. So I get my size options. I think there's six or five or six fonts. I can choose my spacing. Then if I go across, there's layout and the options for different color contrast, which I said about earlier. There's options for alignment and margin and column. And then there are specific themes. And you can actually save a theme as well. So there is a low vision theme already available, which I will just quickly click on to see what it does. So the low vision theme puts it into two columns by default and makes the font a little bit larger, but it goes bigger than that, so that's a bit surprising. Anyway, I'm going to put it back to what I had it on before. And then similarly, there's a more option. And again, this is brand new. Assistive Reader wasn't available before, it now is. I can turn on Assistive Reader, which I'm going to do right now. And I can do the reading ruler and there are all kinds of display options here, so I can have the clock visible. I can choose whether the about the book thing pops up. I can turn on and off the page turn animations. There's lots and lots of options. So I've just turned the assistive reader on. I've got the font size set deliberately small for the reason I said about earlier. And if, oh, I just turn the page instead of doing what I wanted to do. So I'm going to select a word. And now my little play button comes up with all of the other options like highlight, make a note, copy, pin, share. And also you can report like errors in the text through this menu too. It just comes up when you highlight a word. And if I hit play, and this is where we all do our fingers crossed that this works. And it didn't. That was great. One second. So it is working because it's turning the pages, but we're just not hearing it. And I think this is probably something my computer has done. So it even says it is something my computer has done. Great. I didn't know this book had pictures in it as well, so that might be why some images have come up on screen. So I am going to go out of that book and pick a different one. Let's go for the Michael McIntyre autobiography, and it should have remembered my settings. So let's see. And no, it is very much not working. I'm just going to check it has remembered my settings. It has remembered my settings. That's fantastic. I'm just going to turn that feature off because there is another way. And this way, actually, I think often is easier in the menu bar at the very top, which you probably can't see because I haven't shared my entire desktop. Oops. If I go to edit, there's an option for speech and I can select start speaking. So I'm going to click that. Oh, amazing. I'm getting an error message.
Copy error. Your copy limit for this book has been exceeded.
And that's because I've downloaded this book on lots of devices. So that may well be why it wasn't working with the other book as well. I must be honest, I don't tend to use the Kindle app on my Mac very often. Let me find my. Oh,
Julian
yeah.
here. Quick question. Why do you have, when you want to use the assistive reader, why do you have to select a word?
You
Is
have
it
to bring
just
up the menu.
right? And how would you do that if you can't, if you're not using a mouse? Do you just
That is over to Paul.
So I think, hello everyone. When you're using VoiceOver, then you just sort of click on the page that it will start to read. So you don't have to choose a word and then select play.
Yeah. So yeah, the assistive reader is really not meant for screen reader users because screen reader users the text is already going to be read aloud.
Okay. Yeah, get it. Thanks. That's
Sorry, I probably wasn't clear.
no, I was just wondering how you, and if you, yeah. So just it uses a word you select as a starting point with
Yeah.
assistive reader, which is generally going to be people who may be using it for assistance rather than totally relying on speech based.
So with VoiceOver, for example, on iOS, you just do a two-finger flick down and it would start reading from, the beginning of the book of where you left off previously. And it would just continue reading until, until it got to the end, until you stop it. And so it is just normal VoiceOver commands, isn't it?
So I have now selected a book that I downloaded a sample of just for tonight. So I'm pretty sure I won't have reached the limit on this. So I'm now going to select a word, and this one does not have assisted reader. Great. It is really good when you haven't reached your limit of downloads. And when you pick a book that actually has it in, I promise you this worked earlier. I'm going to stop sharing my screen again now. As I kind of alluded to, I don't actually use the kind of Kindle app on my Mac very often, which is why I kind of had to set up for this and download a load of random stuff to get it to work. We're now going to pivot slightly because the latest update to Kindle devices themselves, so standalone ebook readers, has made some really big advancements to the inbuilt screen reader in Kindle devices themselves. For the screen reader on Kindle devices to actually work, there is one major thing that you need, and that is a speaker. So I'm or headphones. Headphones work great, but they must be Bluetooth. And so I am now holding a tiny little speaker that looks like an amp. Julian, I think a question has just come up in the chat.
I'd like to know how you select a word using VoiceOver in the iOS Kindle app, because that menu looks useful. Notes, dictionary, etc.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it is a dub. You have to get out the rotor and change it to words and then flick backwards and forwards until you find the word you want and then double tap. Paul, does that sound correct?
Yeah, so if you normally, I guess you just have it sort of reading continuously, or you could read it word by word, line by line, or character by character. But as with the assistive reader option, when you're focused on a word, so you would use a rotor to, choose word, and flick up and down through the words. But when you double tap on the word, it brings up the same menu that you would when Gemma was doing it visually, so you've got access to the same functions.
Hi.
Thanks, Paul.
How are we doing, Julian?
Oh, hi,
Oh, hi,
Jeff.
Jeff.
Hi, sorry about that. Entirely my fault. Sorry, where were we? Yeah, a couple of things really, Gemma. So you talked about when you were looking for books, it had to say would work with the assisted reader or assistive
Yes.
reader. Do you still need that caveat if you're using VoiceOver app on the phone? Do you know what I mean? Can't you use more? Can't you pretty well download almost any? Can't you use almost any Kindle book with the
Well,
VoiceOver app?
in theory, yes.
Yeah.
But I
Okay.
can tell you that there was a book that went
I'm
really
sure.
viral in the pandemic that was
Right.
like almost like it was kind of it had text, but there were lots of pictures and it was like a
Yeah.
graphic novel. And I can tell you that the voiceover on the Kindle app wouldn't read that
Didn't
to me at
work.
all.
Yeah, yeah.
So within reason.
And I think a good way to do it as well is
Would the Braille display work or not? No,
not for that, I
still
don't think,
wouldn't.
yeah,
No.
if it's not screen reader friendly, as it were, then Braille or screen reader won't work. But I guess the best way to do it, if it's a book you're thinking of purchasing, and of course some of them can be expensive, it's a good idea to download a sample first, then
Sure.
make
Yeah,
sure it is
yeah.
going to read with your
That's a good point.
screen reader or Braille.
If I might just
Yeah.
ask one quick one. So I've got quite a few books on Kindle, which aren't boy how I got them. I've returned to Kindle because I bought one recently. But I wasn't very keen on the sort of standard iOS voice. And I know you could argue that voices are, largely preference, but I just wondered whether you'll cover this or not, just how I might load a more pleasant voice, and whether you've got one you could recommend, although I appreciate that there's a personal factor as well.
So, if you're talking about a Kindle device, as in a standalone Kindle, you
Yeah, I was
cannot
talking
change the
on a phone
voice.
app. I'm using the
Okay.
phone.
So, phone app, I think if you're using the assistive reader, it's the Amazon Voice, and that is it. If
Right.
you're using a screen reader like VoiceOver, you can choose whatever VoiceOver voice you like.
Well, without going into details, Jeff, it is.
Yeah, sure, just roughly.
It will use your default voice that you've got
Indeed.
set up on the phone,
Yep.
but you can go into settings and voiceover accessibility voiceover, and you can download as many voices as you
Oh,
want,
okay.
and
Yep.
then you can use those
On the book,
on the book, or generally you can easily
Sure.
use a rotor to flick
Thanks.
from voice to
Great.
voice,
Yep. Thanks, Paul.
and there's lots on there. Different qualities. You've got standard and enhanced, and it is definitely very subjective, isn't it? But yeah, there's lots of voices you can choose.
I quite like Jamie.
Right.
Or Daniel, actually. So, kind of going back to Kindle devices, I am now holding up in front of my webcam, oh, the wrong way, a massive Kindle. I went big. So, I used to have a Kindle Oasis, which I bought for the screen size. My Kindle Oasis was getting to the point where it was really laggy and it was just very old. They've discontinued the model quite some time ago. So when it was time for to upgrade, I went for a Kindle Scribe just so that I could get the bigger screen, because again of the font scaling things. Now, there's been a massive update to the Kindle OS on Kindle devices, and previously I have kind of dabbled in using the screen reader, but I always found it really clunky and it would crash a lot and it would just sometimes just stop responding and the whole Kindle would stop responding. And before the update, I actually kind of had a session with a client looking at using their existing Kindle with the screen reader. And it was so difficult because the screen reader was basically pants. But there was a big update end of last year. And now the screen reader on Kindle actually functions. But as I said, no Kindles have speakers, so you would always need headphones or a speaker. I am holding again my tiny little speaker. One top tip I would say is whatever device you choose, you're going to probably want to make sure it's a device that has volume controls on the headphones or on the speaker, because changing the volume on the Kindle itself is a bit laborious. And also, when Kindle and Amazon did this big update, previously there was a kind of key command on the device to turn on the screen reader. So, in theory, you should be able to activate the screen reader out of the box without any sighted assistance and set up a Kindle. When I tried to do that, when I purchased my Kindle Scribe, did the hardware force it into screen reader thing work, mode thing work? No. Could I get the screen reader to work? No. But the update seems to have fixed that issue, and I can now turn the screen reader on and off quite easily. I'm talking about like a Kindle Paperwhite. I am holding a Kindle Scribe. It's an ebook reader. I'm not talking about Kindle Fire devices. Kindle Fire devices leave a lot to be desired when it comes to accessibility and voice view. I have used it back in the day. I haven't used it recently, but voice view is a very slow and temperamental screen reader. So I am specifically talking about ebook readers or e-ink displays. So what to connect my device, I find it easier to turn my speaker on first. So I'm going to do that. It's probably going to make a noise. Oh, it's quite beautiful. And then if I hit the power button on my Kindle three times, it should just launch the screen reader. I can tell you it's refreshed the display and it's thinking about it. It has turned the Bluetooth on, so that's a start.
Gemma, presumably, while it's booting up, if you're not using the screen itself, if you're using it purely from an audio point of view, can you just get the cheapest, smallest Kindle device, or are there
Oh,
any
absolutely.
performance factors in the different options?
I can't speak to the performance. I would say avoid any of the color options because you don't need to be paying extra for that. And yeah, I went for the biggest so that I could use the vision that I've got to read books on the largest font size when I can. But kind of my days of being able to read books on the largest font size are limited, and I'm limited by how much I can read. So it's definitely good that it gives me another option. And I had a discussion with Paul when we were kind of planning this, because I was like, I can show people how to do it, but I don't understand necessarily why someone that's going to use the screen reader full time would want to. And Paul made a really, really good point, and that was that it's a distraction-free way of reading, which I hadn't considered. So I guess if you're using VoiceOver to read a book on your phone, for example, you're going to be getting all of your notifications for social media or various other things, or you might get distracted by things coming in. And actually, if you're using it on a Kindle device, that's not going to happen because there are no notifications. So yeah, it's one reason that people might want to. So my Kindle installed an update today, and now that thing that I just told you all was working perfectly, and you could just activate the screen reader by pressing the power button. Suddenly that doesn't work anymore. So I'm going to activate the screen reader within the accessibility menu. So hold music for a second. Julian can sing to you.
Da, 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 da. Paul,
Yeah.
what are the other sort of standalone reader devices you'd be using if it wasn't a Kindle device?
You've got Kindle on a PC, you've got it for iOS, Android.
But in terms of other reading platforms, if you wanted a
You've got,
standalone reading
yeah,
device.
you've got, well, I mean, you've got Apple Books on, obviously, on Apple devices. There used to be a platform called Kobo. I'm not sure if that's still around, but I guess
It is.
Apple, yeah. So I used to dabble in quite a few different ones, but I ended up having more books than I could read in my lifetime, I think. Which, just very briefly to comment on, I mean, growing up in the 70s, as Gemma alluded to, getting books was difficult. It was either Braille books or audio books that RNIB produced, which were, I think in the 1980s, there was only a couple of thousand books. We've now got thousands of audio books, which is great because audio books is a big business. But when Kindle first came out, I don't think any of the books could be read with a screen reader.
No.
But overnight, Amazon turned on the kind of accessible feature. And overnight we've ended access to millions of books. And some people might say, well, I prefer reading Braille, I prefer audio books with human narration, I don't like the speech. But if you've been in a situation where you couldn't get a book that you wanted, you had to wait months and pray that it would be put into audio or Braille, to get access to a book, no matter in which format, be it speech, Braille, or text to speech, it's still a wonder to be able to, someone recommends a book, or you hear about a book on the radio, you go to your favorite platform, be it Kindle, Audible, RNIB Talking Books, whatever it might be, and chances are it's going to be available. And chances are too that it might even be available on something like RNIB Talking Books, or RNIB Reading Services, because they've got access to, thousands of books that people like Penguin and so on are producing and giving to RNIB free of charge. So you tend to find that the big blockbusters, the new books that are coming out on Audible, are quite often going to be available with human narration on something like Talking Books. But if they're not, then just having access to text to speech, and as Jeff said, choosing the voice you want is very important too, and that's very subjective. But choosing a decent voice, choosing a comfortable reading speed, then it can be a really interesting and rewarding experience. If you're someone who likes human narration, with people putting on accents, and each character has their own voice, then of course you're not going to get that. But just getting access to the book at the same time as everyone else and having the choice. And it's still quite wondrous, because growing up, when it was a desert as far as getting a book was concerned, it is quite fantastic, really.
Yeah, and kind of to that point, I know I shared earlier that I just kind of changed my library around so that you didn't see my full library. But a couple of years ago, I did a theology course within the church for going to kind of church leadership. And I got the reading list for that course, and literally none of the titles were available in audio. I didn't go through, oh, what's the RNIB reading service called for students? Bookshare, yeah. I didn't go through Bookshare because it wasn't like a college course or anything like that, but I couldn't find any of the reading material for that course from the RNIB. I did find a couple of the titles from a Christian charity that specializes in making books accessible. Yeah, anything kind of niche, Kindle's great for that. I have just restarted my Kindle, so I'm hoping it might work in a minute. But I can see that someone's put their hand up. I think your name is Molly. Do you want to go ahead?
Hi. I just wanted to say, you were saying about purchasing on the Kindle website. You can also purchase through your Amazon device, so you can say, Alexa, search for whatever book it is on the Kindle store, and you can buy it that way. I didn't know if anyone knew that.
You have to set it up in the app and give the Echo device permission. But yes, you're right. And actually, with the new Alexa Plus, it can even recognize different people's voices within the household. So I live alone, but sometimes
Yeah, me too.
sometimes, my carer is here, and I've got it set so only I can make purchases. I don't think my carer would ever try and make a purchase on my Echo devices. I'm not even sure she'd know how, but yeah, I've got it set so only my specific voice can make a purchase. So yeah, I guess at this point, I'd love to open up the floor to questions, comments. One thing I meant to say and didn't is that you would be amazed just how many free books are available on Kindle. Sometimes I will just be browsing and a book is, say, 99p. That happens quite often. Or there is sort of a Kindle borrowing service as well called Kindle Unlimited, where you can download a book and then when you're done reading it, you kind of remove it off your device and then you can download another book. I think you can download 5 books on Kindle Unlimited at one time, and there's a whole library of books to choose from. So that's really cool. And yeah, Paul was right. Some Kindle books are really expensive, particularly if they're very niche. So yeah, downloading a sample and testing it first if you're not sure is a great idea.
And
Gemma,
just
I
as
was going to ask you.
I was going to ask you what the pricing model is compared to something like Audible for the same book. How does it generally? How much do they cost?
I would say generally it's slightly cheaper on Kindle, but that is a sweeping generalization.
Right, and do you, is there a because with Audible there's also generally monthly subscriptions, isn't there?
Yeah,
You can get
that's what
one
Kindle
book a month
Unlimited
or
is.
something. How does Kindle work? Is there a subscription for Kindle? Was it just per book?
So you can either do it per book or you can get Kindle Unlimited.
Okay, that's helpful. Thanks. Paul, sorry, over to you.
I was just going to say, I mean, in terms of Audible, if you're an Amazon Prime member, then you can get one free Audible book per month, but you can only play it on, I guess, either a Kindle device, Alexa, or Android or iOS. You can't, as you can with general Audible books, you can download them and then copy them onto a specialist player like the Victor Stream, for example. But that's quite a good way of getting one audio book as part of your Kindle, sorry, as part of your Amazon Prime subscription. And you choose the audiobooks through Amazon Music rather than the Audible app. So when you go to Amazon Music, you've got various tabs. You've got music and you've got an Audible tab. You click on that and then you can search Audible in the normal way, choose your book, and then on a compatible device, you can download it to your library or listen to it on Alexa or I guess a Kindle device.
Thanks, Paul. Gemma, are there any good resources if people want to just sort of have another run through of sort of the basics of setting things up using assisted reader? Is there a good help system? Is there tutorials? Anything like that?
Yeah. So if you go on the Amazon website, there is a section for Kindle. And if you go into the section for Kindle, you will find in the darkest depths of that section, there's a section on accessibility. And it can take you through all of the options. And yeah, it's worth saying, obviously, the Kindle app for iPhone, Android, Windows, and Mac is free. So there's no cost for the app itself. So yeah.
Thank you. Are you aware of any product releases, updates, anything new on the horizon for Kindle?
Not right now because they just did the really big Kindle device update, literally at the end of 2025. So I think really the latest thing that Amazon is working on is going to be Alexa Plus. I have the kind of early access to Alexa Plus, and it has been interesting. Alexa Plus is a lot more intelligent, but it also kind of goes backwards in some areas. So I was speaking to some people on the Visionary Forum because basically, with Alexa Plus, it stopped controlling my TV properly. It will turn my TV on and off, but it won't let me change channel. And someone else was saying that their smart lighting wasn't working with Alexa Plus. So I think that's going to be the next big thing. And I can see kind of Alexa Plus integration on Kindle devices as well. I think, you know, for text-based entry, that will probably be a thing in the future. So, yeah.
Thanks. I've got a question from Marcia.
Yeah. Hello. I was trying to understand because when I first had my Kindle, the only one that I could access the Kindle on was the Kindle Fire, and it was a little keyboard, you know, when they first came out. So are you saying now that all of the Kindles can be accessed and there is a text to speech on all of them?
Yeah,
Is that
so
correct?
it uses so on all of the current Kindles that have just been that are currently being sold by Amazon, so not like if you want to buy a Kindle Oasis from like 2022, that's not going to support it very well, if at all. But on all of the Kindles currently being sold by Amazon, they have Voice View Screen Reader. Voice View Screen Reader works very much in a similar way to VoiceOver. I really wish that my Kindle. Oh, hang on a second. It has just. Oh no. Yeah, it's not connecting to my Bluetooth device for some reason, which is why it's not working. But basically, it works in a very similar way to VoiceOver on an iPhone. The only thing is you have to make your double taps less fast, so a bit slower. And yeah, there's even a tutorial that guides you through the gestures, how to start and stop reading, how to access menus, and all of those things. So yeah.
That would be useful because it'd be nice to have the smaller one instead of having to have the bigger one. Because I only listen to it, I don't read it. I can't, my site won't let me do that anymore. So they have the smaller book reader. That would be useful. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
Just to clarify, there's a bit of different language being used there about the Kindle device and the Fire device. And I think, am I right in saying that the Amazon Fire device is completely different to a Kindle device? It's
Yeah.
like a tab it's like a
So,
tablet device that will
yeah.
run
So,
your Amazon apps, and it's presumably got a Kindle app on the Fire device, but they're
yeah.
different to the Kindle family of e-readers.
Yes. And I, hand on heart, can't recommend a Fire device to anyone using screen reader full time, from what I have seen. I haven't seen one in the last year, but before that, they were not great in terms of using the screen reader and accessing Kindle content that way. But yeah, Kindle e-readers, yeah, they do start pretty small.
Just to comment on Kindle Fire, I mean, I've had a Kindle Fire, various different models for a little bit, I suppose, since it came out about 10 years ago, 9 years ago, whatever it was. They have got better. They are a little clunky, but you can do quite a lot on them. But they're nowhere as good as an Android device or an iOS device, but
Well,
they're a lot cheaper.
you called it a Kindle
Kindle
Fire. Is
Fire,
that correct? Or is
yeah.
it an
Or
Amazon Fire device?
Amazon Fire, sorry.
Okay.
I think they were Kindle Fires originally, but sorry, Amazon Fire, Julie. Yeah. And you can add other apps from the Fire store. So just for, as an example, there's a version of Easy Reader for the Fire devices. So you could have, Kindle, you could have Easy Reader all on the same device. But they're a little clunky, but they are usable. They do use double tap with one or more fingers that the iOS device you use, and Android devices didn't use until maybe a 2 or 3 years ago. And a lot of the voice view commands are similar to voice over or Android voice devices. So there's quite a lot of crossover, but given the price of the Amazon Fire devices, they are usable, but yeah, a bit clunky, I would say.
Because they are, I think I'm right in saying that the Amazon Fire devices are an Android platform, but it's a
Yeah,
locked down version of
it
Android,
is,
so you
yeah.
can't download all of your apps. So you can, having used one, you've got things like Netflix and some apps, but not others. So you
Yeah.
can't, for instance, download a Google browser. You have to use the Amazon, I forget what it's called now. There's an Amazon browser. So I'm not sure why, other than that they're very cheap and they've got very good screens. So if you're watching movies and stuff, they're a great mobile media platform, but I'm not sure why you would really want one as a device rather than a stock Android device, which would give you more flexibility with apps, really. Although obviously they may be more expensive, but they're generally a bit more flexible, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you like dabbling and playing around with things, then but you're absolutely right. If you've got a decent iOS device or an Android device, there's no real reason to go for one of them.
No, just yeah.
Apart from the fact that we talked about earlier, where you wouldn't get you wouldn't get interruptions from your main phone or tablet that you might be using. So even as maybe a cheap alternative, because I think the Kindle devices are quite,
They're very good value, yeah.
I think the Fire tablets are even cheaper. So, in that respect, it might be an option, but because you can do a little bit more with them. But if you just want a dedicated reading device, then a Kindle, might be the way to go, given that they've got voice view as part of the ecosystem there.
Yeah, just a quick note. Gary's just made the point that if you're an avid book reader, you can purchase 24 credits from Audible for £100, £108 a year, which is equivalent to £4.50 a book, which is pretty
Yeah,
good value.
it's fantastic. I've had that option for the last 5 or 6 years, and it's great because, and you can, if you use up all your credits within the year, they often promote a free credit option for £11, or you can move on to another 24 option, which starts from that date, and again, runs for another year. So they're always trying to encourage you to buy credits, but it is a it's a great way of getting books. I
I
will
have to
say,
say, sorry, Paul.
yeah, I was just going to quickly say that I have found that in recent years, a lot of the books that I was buying on Audible were available now in IB reading services. And it was for a time, I was finding it quite difficult to use up my credits over a year because so many books were available at the same time from RNIB as they were from Audible.
Okay, thanks, Paul. That's really helpful. There's a hand up from Molly. Molly, do you have a question?
Hello, it's Molly again. Sorry about the raised hand earlier. I couldn't lower it.
That's all right.
But I want to know, Gemma, first of all, I'm very jealous that you've got Alexa Plus because I'm on the early access and still nothing. And also, does it read your Kindle books in any different ways to what it used to? Is it more expressive now? How does that work?
No, no
Okay.
changes.
Okay.
Like just the same as it was before. Like you can speed up or slow down, but that's about it.
Okay, yeah, because I know the Alexa AI voice has actually changed, hasn't it? It's got a bit of
It's
a
not
different
that
tone.
different.
Okay, but interesting, yeah, because I noticed on somebody else's device it was quite a bit different to me. So that's really
You
interesting.
can go into settings and change your Alexa voice.
They've kind of got personalities now, haven't they? Which
Yeah, they have,
I find
yeah.
really annoying, I have to say. But anyway,
Okay.
I tried Alexa Plus for a little while, about a day, and went back to the standard Alexa because I was finding that some apps, some skills, it wouldn't play. I think that's improved. That was about maybe a couple of months ago when it first came out. But
Right. Is there
it
a
will
way to
it
get
will
it
get
quicker?
better.
Because I'm on the access, but I've not got it yet. Do I just have to wait or?
Yeah, they pick people at random.
Oh, is that how it works? Okay.
Yeah, or I can tell you what I did. So I had a really ancient Echo Dot,
Yeah.
and I knew it wasn't going to be supported by the new Amazon Alexa Plus.
Yeah.
So I upgraded and bought a new Echo Dot Max. And my plan was, because I've got two in my living room, my plan was to pair them as a pair. But it turns out you can't do that because I assumed that my latest generation regular Echo Dot would just studio would just I think they call it studio pair. No, stereo pair with a regular Echo Dot. No, it won't.
Oh,
They don't
okay.
let you. And so I got on the Alexa Plus by buying the new Echo Dot Max.
Right, okay, because I've got the fourth generation dots, so.
Yeah, and yeah, like I said, I just wanted to stereo pair it. So yeah, I was a bit annoyed that I
Oh,
couldn't do
no.
that. But it did mean I got to update to Alexa Plus, and I have been enjoying it. Like it has been more useful. Like earlier on, I asked it what a keyboard shortcut was because I am sat at my desk here, and Julian knows this already. But I went to join the meeting, and my mouse stopped working, and I had to restart my computer, and I have a bit of a clunky setup at home because I use a Mac, but I have a Windows keyboard, and
No,
I
right,
needed
okay.
to check what the keyboard shortcut was
Yeah.
and then work out what it was going to be on a Windows keyboard to restart my Mac.
Oh, right, okay. And just something very, very quick, and then I'm going to go. The Echo, the Dot Max, what's that like?
It's
Like, is
just a bit
it
bigger.
round or?
Yeah, it's just a bit bigger.
Okay, interesting. All right, thank you for that.
It's all right.
You say bigger, is that because is that got a screen on it, or is it just a
No,
physical
it's
speaker?
the same kind of spherical shape. Instead of having like a rounded top, it's got a sort of a. It's like someone has taken a ball and squashed one side of it, and that's where they've put the controls. So the controls are slightly more pointed at a diagonal, like as a slant. I have found them not quite as tactile, but they're tactile enough. But Yeah, it's just a bigger Echo Dot.
So if you're into music, it's going to give you better bass and sound reproduction, perhaps.
Maybe I'm not convinced.
Okay. Thanks anyway. So any more questions for Gemma or Paul, any reflections from you on wider points around pros and cons?
Sorry, I was muted. I think for me, I've always been an avid reader, and just to have so many choices of getting access to books, and to get a book at the same time as it's published, it's nothing short of fantastic. I can't find the words to really put it into how I feel about it, because when I was a kid, you wait for months, years for a book that you wanted to read, and 99 times out of 100, it was never produced. For studying, and there's literally millions of books that we can now access. And if you're a student, you've got RNIB Bookshare, where you can subscribe through your education institute, university, college, what school, whatever it might be. And again, you've got access to millions of text-to-speech books. It's not perfect, because there are still lots of books we can't access, but it's a million times better than it was even 10 years ago. And
Yeah,
it's also,
sorry.
yeah, and I was just going to say, it quite often when we do master classes, it kind of focuses on the audio side of things, on speech. It's great Gemma's doing this kind of from a visual point of view, but you're also, making it accessible for everyone. Hopefully we can do more of these in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Paul. I have got a hand up from Sheila. Sheila, go ahead.
Hello, Gemma, and thank you very much for this really good presentation. My husband's sight is dropping out, as yours sadly, unfortunately, is a bit too, and he's thinking about Kindle. He has been using the app. Have you got any idea how big you can get the font to go if you had a Kindle Scribe? Like what point size?
Yeah, sure. I will check right now. So I did figure out what was wrong with my Kindle Scribe, and it was actually my Bluetooth speaker is playing up and it
Oh
won't
yeah,
pair. So it wasn't
that's demos for
actually
you.
my Kindle that was to blame. But unfortunately, I don't have a spare speaker. So let me just open a random book.
Because he's dropping down to sort of 25, 26 point now. So
Okay, that probably is not going to be, is probably, one second. So they call it font size 14, but I would estimate it's probably maybe 20, 22.
Yeah. So he might not. Is there any way you can see these Kindles in a shop before you buy them? I mean, do John Lewis's still have them, for example? Do you
I
know?
have no idea
No,
if
does it?
John.
I don't know if anybody knows anywhere where you
But
can actually see them.
what I would say is if you buy it from Amazon, you can just return it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just reset it and then send it back.
Oh, yeah, definitely log off.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I can tell you that the font size on Windows or Mac goes much, much larger than that.
Right, thank you.
I just wanted to pick up on Paul's point about waiting for books to come out in Braille or whatever. Yeah, I have very similar memories of being a teenager, and there was a very popular book at the time that everyone was waiting for the release date to come out. And in my friend group, everyone was reading it, and I had to wait and wait and wait and wait for it to come out. And then it was like four times the price of the paperback in large print. So yeah, having access to so much choice is really valuable to me. And I can tell you that I was looking through this earlier, and I have downloaded something like 300 different samples of books, just to kind of see if I was interested in the book or whatever, or you know, maybe I'm waiting for it to come onto Kindle Unlimited. But yeah, just to have that much choice is really amazing.
I was just checking the John Lewis website. You can certainly buy them from John Lewis, and it says yes, you can test them before buying. But it probably depends on the store, and they may not have all of them in store. But yeah, and carriers sometimes have them as well.
Yeah, I think if you went to someone like John Lewis, they probably wouldn't really know how to turn on the accessibility functions, and it's probably better to play with it for a week or so and reset it and send it back to Amazon if it's not suitable.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we're coming up to 10 to 9. So it's been really interesting. Lots of engagement, lots of questions. Obviously, a very popular topic. So huge thank you to Gemma and also to Paul for your contribution as well. We will be sharing this so you can listen back to it or share it with others. We'll put it on the send out an email when it's available as a recording. Gemma, if you think of any other useful resources or tips, we can add that to the web page on the Tabit website with the recording, so we
Yeah.
perhaps chat about that afterwards.
Yeah, I will send you a link to the Kindle Accessibility Help.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. And you are at, I think you said where you worked, didn't you, at the beginning? So it's not a
Yeah,
spoiler.
I work for OpenSite Hampshire, but I'm part-time.
Yeah. So, but if people want to track you down for to follow up, then they can find you there somehow,
Yeah, or on
or
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Okay, that's brilliant. Well, thank you so much. As Paul said, it would be great to have you back to do another session. We've talked about doing something particularly on magnification settings on different devices. So, be good to look at another session on that. As Paul said, to sort of reach a sort of a broader audience and. Perhaps we've done in the past. So great to have you on board. Thank you for the time in preparing the session. And yeah, it's been a really good evening. So thank you very much.
I can only apologise that my live demo of the Kindle device didn't work, but I will also sort out my my speaker issue, and I'll just record a video for you, Julian, so you can put it
That's
on the
how, yeah, I
Tablet
can slot that
YouTube or
into the
whatever.
recording.
Yeah, can I just say I really enjoyed it too, so thanks, Gemma. Yeah,
Thanks.
great.
It's really
Thank
it's been
you.
very nice to get my nerd on.
It has a good.
Thank
Thanks
you.
for sharing
Yeah, it's
your
been very good.
nerdy knowledge. Much appreciated. Good. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a good evening. Have a lovely warm weekend, and we'll catch up soon. Thanks
Bye
all.
all.
Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Bye.